So as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we are in the sixth chapter of John. This is actually the chapter that the famous scripture scholar Scott Hahn would be converted through. When he was doing, if you read his story, he discovered the fathers of the church. He discovered the ancient theologians that knew the apostles and were writing and commenting on the scripture. So they were closest to the source. They were learning from John himself, from all of these apostles. And he was getting great stuff. He was doing a whole thing on the Gospel of John. And his congregation was like excited. They're like, wow, we've never heard this stuff. This is so deep. And he's like, well, you know, he didn't tell them where he was getting it from. And then all of a sudden, he got to John chapter 6. And then he just kind of stopped the Bible study and said, all right, we're just going to jump to the book of Revelation right now. And people are like, wait, what about, let's keep going with John. He's like, no, you really don't want to hear what I have to say. Because when he went into the fathers of the church, he started realizing that all of them were talking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. This is not just a representation. It's not something that you just use to remember a wonderful thing that God did. It's not something that reminds you of his presence, but it is him. Just as in the road to Emmaus, when they see Jesus celebrating the Eucharist, breaking the bread, their eyes are open, they recognize him in the breaking of the bread, and he vanishes from their sight. But he's not gone. It's this beautiful way of saying he's really there. And so we're looking at this great chapter, John chapter 6. And we're in the first third of it right now. So we've heard previously, we have the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. We hear that recounted in the other Gospels as well. But in John's Gospel, it talks about after this, they're so excited that he's done this, and the Messiah is the one who is going to be the one that will give bread, who will feed his people. And they want to take him. They want to carry him off to be king. And he knows they're going to take him for the wrong reason, to be just this earthly king. So he runs away from them. He hides. And ultimately, he will then send his apostles across the sea. They're in a storm, and then Jesus comes to them walking on the water, saying, don't be afraid, it is I, and gets them to the shore. And that's why in the gospel today, the next day after that nighttime storm, the people are looking and saying, well, we only saw the apostles go, or Jesus' disciples go, and there's still a boat here, but where is Jesus? And ultimately, Jesus, you know, he sees them come. He then says to them, after they say, Rabbi, when did you get here? They're looking for him. They're seeking. And he says, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And that's what we're going to talk about today. They're coming because they ate loaves and were filled, but not because they saw signs. Now, the word sign, a lot of times in English, we don't really know what to do with this word. Sometimes it means symbol, it means, okay, here's a sign for something, it's representing something, it's not really the thing itself. And so when we say, ultimately, the Eucharist is a sign, all the sacraments are signs, we get confused if we don't understand what that word semeion means. That's what it means in Greek. But this is actually what sign means in a biblical context. So don't think English right now. Think the world of the Bible. A way of understanding this is not so much this is something that you can see that reminds you of something else, But the very thing that you see, when you come in contact with it, it is like a portal that leads you into the invisible. It is something visible. Baptism, for instance. Water poured over, you see it. But as you look upon that visible reality, if you have wonder, like a child, this is why Jesus says, only if you have the heart of a child can you receive the kingdom of heaven. When we enter into that sign, we're actually brought through to experience the reality of the invisible, the mystery of new life in Christ, in baptism, for instance. A way of thinking of this as well, when we think of sign, is to think about in the ancient world, when they would look up at the stars, they didn't necessarily understand the astrophysics and astronomy and all those different things. And we might say, oh, they're primitive, they don't really know a lot. But listen to their very beautiful understanding of how they understood the stars. And this is actually where we get the word desire, de sidera, from the stars. They understood that there was, in a sense, the firmament above and the firmament below, like, in a sense, water, and the sea was divided, and there was this covering, and the water was up here, and the water was down here. We hear about this in the book of Genesis. God created the one up here, called it the sky, the heavens, and then the earth, or the sea. And so when the ancient world would look up, and at night they would see stars, these little pinpricks, they would look at it and they would say, this is a, in a sense, a hole in the covering over the earth, that there's something glorious on the other side. It's kind of like the famous movie Moana, where it's like, how far I'll go, that sense of like, on the horizon, there's something calling me. And those stars, there was this hunger to, in a sense, touch those stars and to go through the star to be able to see all of the powerful light that you're only getting a tiny little pinprick of its glory. Isn't that a beautiful way of looking at the stars? And the very word desire comes from that sense that when we desire something, we're wanting to enter into it. We want to be wed to it. We want to be in communion. And so that is a way of understanding sign. It's not merely just a representation that says, okay, this is something that just kind of reminds you of something. But it is like those stars, that as you look at it and it shines upon you and your heart is drawn to it, as you reach out and touch it, it pulls you in to discover this mysterious world of the invisible. A beautiful literary version of this is for anyone who's ever read The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. There is one of the books called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And you have this painting of an old Narnian ship, and the children are looking at it, and they're saying, it's so beautiful. It just seems like the waves are moving. It just seems like the boat is rocking. And as they're just so captivated by its beauty and they're entering into that visible sign, they start realizing, wait a minute, the boat is actually moving. The waves are actually moving. And then water starts coming out of the painting, and ultimately they get brought into the world of Narnia through the painting. So again, these are just different ways of understanding when Jesus says, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And you can hear his sadness there. They're coming after him. They're excited. But they're coming after him just wanting to stop at the sign and just eat that. So the sign of bread. Think about what bread signifies. It is strength for man's heart in the Bible. Think about what wine signifies. It cheers the heart of man. So one is touching upon the need to have something to feed us, to stay alive, to keep on the journey. One also to say that man's life is not merely meant to be just a drudgery, but wine is the sign of the wedding feast, of celebration, of cheering the joy of man's heart. This is how bread and wine are understood in the Bible. And so Jesus very wisely takes bread and wine, and he says, look at these, and now I speak into both of these realities, and I say, this is my body, this is my blood. And it's not merely just him saying, this is something that reminds you of me, but in a sense, he's gone. This is what we mean by transubstantiation. Bread was there, but Jesus, who is the Word that created with the Father and the Spirit out of nothing, can certainly go into the very fabric of reality, change the substance, put himself there, kick out the substance of bread and say, sorry, I got this, push it out, and yet still leave the appearance, the mask, in a sense, because he wants us to remember what bread signifies and to hunger, the very thing that will give us life that we're starving for. And he says, yes, in the physical world, this is what will remind you, what will make your taste buds water and your stomach churn, saying, I need this for life. And I'm putting that in front of you because ultimately, if you touch that sign of the appearance of bread and the appearance of wine, just like the stars or like the Narnian picture, you touch that reality, the cheer, the wedding feast. And sooner or later, you're going to find yourself sucked through the appearance and come face to face with the living God, saying, this is not just bread. It's not just wine. But mysteriously, you've been brought in at the very depth. It's my heart given for you, my heart, my love, my mercy alone will feed your soul. Remember, Jesus says this against the devil. Man does not live by bread alone. That's what the people hear. They're just like, just give us the bread. Make everything well. Just fill my belly, and that's all that I need from you. And Jesus is like, I'm here for something so much more. I'm here to show you that the bread is not going to satisfy you, but my word, my Eucharist, will satisfy the deepest longing of the heart, because our deepest longing we need, and children know this, we need love more than food. If we don't have love, being unconditionally loved, known, seen, in the depth of our heart, if we starve there, no matter how much we get fed physically, we're going to be hollowed out and spiritually zombified from within. And there are so many of our brothers and sisters in the world that maybe have so many things, but maybe are starving and hollowed and dead on the inside because they've never known love. And that's why the message of mercy is so important, the message of divine mercy. Jesus Christ comes into the starvation of our darkness, and he says, here's my heart. And if you think about all of the Eucharistic miracles that have happened over the centuries, a commonality that you see is when Jesus says, you know what, I'm going to take this mask away. Yes, this most of the time, this appearance of bread is here, but sometimes, I'm just going to pull it aside to show you who's really there. A lot of times, that Eucharistic miracle, what seems to be bread, then is seen to be human heart tissue. Jesus is giving us his heart. And he's telling, as he said to St. Faustina, tell aching mankind to snuggle close to my heart. There I will fill it with peace. So the Lord wants to draw you in. He's given you the sign of the Eucharist, not as a representation, but as something that will help us go from the visible to the invisible, to the appearance of bread and wine, but to touch it and realize we are sucked into an adventure far more glorious and beautiful, and one that is just a foretaste of the beautiful wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven. And this is the good news.
Hello, I'm Father Thaddeus Langton of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, and I'm excited to let you know about my new podcast with Father Timothy Childers called Keeping It Marian. To access the podcast, simply visit divinemercyplus.org or search Keeping It Marian on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on whatever podcast platform you prefer. I want to share with you the riches of the charism of the Marian Fathers, which is the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, how it touches our lives as consecrated priests and religious, and how this mystery can bear fruit in your life, especially by keeping the Word of God and pondering it in our hearts in imitation of our Blessed Mother. I hope you'll join us. Again, it's called Keeping It Marian. Thank you, and God bless you.
Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit divinemercyplus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's divinemercyplus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.